I really hope that what we're doing is the right thing, or the last word spoken in Growing Up Trans, a documentary that will air as part of the Frontline series on PBS tomorrow evening. They're voiced by Courtney Finlayson, a pediatric endocrinologist who's part of a team of doctors at a Chicago hospital that helps children as young as 9 years old begin the process of changing genders. The film features 8 children who have begun the transition process and looks at the options open to them, as well as at the sometimes gut-wrenching choices their parents and doctors face while trying to help them. Here to talk about it are Mary Novosky and Karen O'Connor, the film's producers, directors, and writers, and Ariel, a 13-year-old girl who's featured in the film. Welcome to our show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And Ariel, thanks for agreeing to speak with us. During the film, you seem very comfortable talking about your decision to transition from male to female. Is that because you're completely sure that you're making the right decision?
Yes, I was completely sure I was making the right decision. I've always felt it inside of my heart and soul ever since I was young. I've always knew I wanted to be a girl. I am a girl.
When you say young, how old were you when you first became aware that you identified as a girl, not a boy?
As soon as I could speak, I guess 2.
And during the film, you say that socially it's easier to come out as trans than it is to be a girly boy. Did you suffer through a lot of teasing and bullying, or was it just difficult to make close friends?
Not a lot of teasing and bullying, and I did have a lot of close friends, but the in-between stage of where I was sort of living a double life of living as Ian in school and Ariel out of school was kind of hard for me, and I was sort of felt out of balance.
Mary, this is a fascinating subject. When did you first realize that you wanted to make a documentary about it?
I think Karen and I started thinking about making a film about this over 2 years ago, maybe. And we have been working on this film for about 1.5 years.
How recently was there enough going on in this area for you to even be able to make a film about it?
We started to see, I have kids, so I started to see how gendered everything was at a young age. And then Karen and I, saw more and more articles popping up about kids that were younger, and we were curious about who these kids were and what was going on.
Karen, the families and doctors you interviewed for this film were associated with the Anne and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, their gender program. Are there other U.S. hospitals doing this kind of work, or is that the only one?
No, that's the program in Chicago is one of a number of gender programs across the country. The first to open in the United States was in Boston, actually, at Boston Children's Hospital. Lurie's in Chicago is the most recent, and some of the families in the film are from that. Ariel, for example, is not.
Ariel's in New Jersey.
That's right. So we met families and physicians all across the country, but focused much of it in Chicago.
And were they all open to talking about it on film?
Oh, they were incredible. Ariel, as you can tell, is enormously articulate and moving about her experience, and also incredibly honest and direct with us. We were stunned, actually.
Ariel, a point that's made in the film is that your generation of transgender children and teens are on the cutting edge. You're in the first young people transitioning. Do you feel like a pioneer?
Yeah, a little bit of a pioneer. I mean, yeah, transgender is showing up more and more in the media, and I think it's really important to hear from some of the younger voices. And so, yeah, I feel like we are the pioneers for a better generation.
Have you ever thought about how different your teenage years would have been if you'd been born even 10 years earlier?
Yeah, they would have been. I feel like they would have been easier born 10 years earlier.
Easier, really?
Yeah. Oh, you mean 10 years earlier?
Than you were born.
Oh, yeah.
If you were 23 years old now.
It would have been much harder, actually. Sorry, I misunderstood you. Yeah, it would have been much harder. It's a really hard world to live in as it is. And even when there are so many things that doctors are trying to help transgender kids with, there's so many medications, there's hormone blockers, there's cross hormones, and there wasn't that back then, and they were really hard to come by. So yes, I think it would have been very hard to.
Mary, the puberty blocking drugs that Ariel's talking about, which first became available in 2007, play a major role in the lives of transgender children in your film. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I can tell you what I know from working with these kids.
Karen, are you a doctor?
I'm not. But Ariel, I think she said it perfectly. They were a lifesaver for her. They kind of, what they essentially do is stop you, pause puberty. So they give you time to really be sure that this is what you want to do without going into the taking hormones.
But they can be reversed.
They're completely reversible. And so the idea is that it buys families and kids more time before making any decision, and it enables them to not have to undo things. So, I mean, Ariel can tell you more about them herself, how they were for her.
How old are most of the children when they start taking these drugs? Ariel, how old were you?
I was, I'd say I was about 12 or 11 when I started the cross hormones.
So fairly recent.
Not the cross hormones, excuse me, the hormone blockers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they were, I agree with you, they sort of gave me a breathing space. And I think that's really important for a lot of transgender kids going through the same thing.
But these are not hormonal. The hormonal drugs would have much more of an impact, Karen?
They are. That's the next step in the process, actually. The puberty blockers are given at the ideally in the early stage of puberty, what's called Tanner 2. And it, as Ariel said, buys time to not only have that breathing space, but to decide whether to move forward with cross-sex hormones. That would be estrogen or testosterone. And those, the stakes get higher because those begin to not be reversible. So,
didn't the doctors interviewed during the film tell you that there's no foolproof way to determine whether an individual child's gender dysphagia is temporary or will last a lifetime? So how often do children change their minds? Do we know?
It's one of the big dilemmas. One, there's very little research. What research does exist is largely anecdotal, and that research doesn't take into account the new phenomenon out there now, which is social transition, which means kids are living as their other gender, sometimes as young as preschool. So the research doesn't tell anybody very much, although the old research does indicate that a large majority of kids won't necessarily continue to feel that way later in life. So there's the conundrum. What do you do?
With that in mind, how do doctors determine which children are appropriate candidates to help transitioning and which ones aren't?
Puberty itself can be the most telling predictor from all reports from physicians that we met. It's the distress around the approaching puberty that's revealing whether it's considered consistent, persistent, and so that's the best guide for people right now.
And families. I mean, I think Ariel can speak to it, but she had her family, and Ariel had been in therapy for many years trying to figure out, feeling comfortable with her decision.
My guests are Mary Novosky and Karen O'Connor, who are co-producers, directors, and writers of a documentary called Growing Up Trans, which will be shown tomorrow night at 10:30 on Channel 13 here in New York, and Ariel, who's a 13-year-old girl who's featured in the film. Ariel, during the film, you say that going through puberty and developing a man's body would have been the most horrible thing you could imagine. By the time you reached puberty, hadn't you already changed your name to Ariel, been dressing as a girl, and largely been accepted as a girl by your peers?
Yes, I had been accepted as a girl by my parents at that time. Yeah, it would just be a really hard concept for me to have to live a wrong life that didn't really fit me, but it was really good to have the support from my friends and family, and that's what really got me through some hardships.
Well, we see your mother and your grandmother helping you make the transition. What about your father?
My father, yeah, he wasn't actually as supportive as my mother and my grandmother at first. He kind of, he was never unaccepting. He never really shunned me, but he sometimes had a hard time wrapping his mind around the whole concept and idea of being transgender. And But he totally understands it today, and it's taken a lot of therapy and a lot of talking to do that. But I think that it's been a really good experience for him, and he's had he's learned a lot from me.
Mary, the decision to allow these children to become the process of changing genders seems much more difficult for the fathers than for the mothers in the film. Did you find that to be true across the board, or just with the small sample of parents that appear in your film?
I mean, you know, ideally the small sample of parents that appear in our film are somewhat representative of a larger group. We did find that. I don't know why, but we did. But I think it is generally... that said, there are some parents, like Daniel Human's parents, and the little girl at the beginning of the film, who, you know, were right on board from the get-go. So there are other families that actually it was harder for the mom. So now that I'm saying that, I'm rethinking it.
But, Karen, as I recall, only one of the fathers you interviewed seemed to support his biological daughter's transition to be a boy. But on the other hand, there are kids here who are... girls who want to be boys, boys who want to be girls. Does it matter? Do you think that the reactions of parents are different?
Just thinking about it, in our film there were a couple of fathers who struggled with it more than others. In that case, they were female to male transitions. I'm not sure how much that's determinative. I think what you feel throughout is parents trying to do right by their kids under these difficult circumstances, and some struggling more than others. So I'm not sure, Leonard.
It can be painful at times to watch the parents in your film try to make these difficult decisions for and with their children. How willing were most of the parents to speak on camera about their fears and their choices?
For me, it's one of the most powerful elements in the film is actually the idea of coming inside this world through the prism of the kids and their parents is where I think it rises and is revealing in a way I think that we haven't necessarily seen before. And I think Mary and I were struck by, it was really quite amazingly amazing how straightforward and open they were with us, both the kids and the parents. They were pretty candid, and nothing was off limits, and they were fearless and kind of unblinking about going wherever we needed to go in the interview. But Ariel was certainly one of those. She was just remarkably open and direct with us.
Mary, when your film opens, one of the children, who's now called Daniel, is 9 years old and has already been living as a boy for 3 years. His mother explains, "We knew we had to listen to our child. Nothing else mattered." Do some parents who've been reluctant to allow gender transformational treatment change their minds when they see how much their children are suffering?
I think that was like eye-opening to us. I think it's easy to kind of sit back and say, "Oh, I would never do this." But when your kid is really struggling psychologically,
talking about suicide and self-harm,
exactly, at that young an age, I think it turns everything that you think you would do as a parent on its head, and suddenly you have to weigh. It gets so much more complicated, and you know when your kids are deeply unhappy.
And then there are religious concerns. I mean, right now we have just gone through the big debate over same-sex marriage, and many people cite religious concerns there. What happens when your child wants to change sex?
You see it very clearly in our film with the Blanchard family. John Blanchard is a 16-year-old who's trying desperately to get testosterone, and his father, Bert, is, as he describes himself, a deeply religious man who struggles with it and feels kind of morally and opposed to it. In that family, I think you feel vividly what it is to be kind of caught in that dilemma. John, in his mind, suffering the consequences of his father's spiritual struggle. So we, in our way, tease that out a bit through, again, these character-driven pieces.
To move forward with the gender transition, it's necessary for the children to inject opposite-sex hormones to the bodies. Females start testosterone and males begin estrogen treatments. And that's the point in the process when the results are no longer reversible?
Yeah, it is permanent. So, I mean, you can... you can stop and certain things will, you know, stop happening, but you can't undo some of the effects of that.
And so, didn't some doctors tell you that they were concerned that so little research has been done in this area about long-term effects?
I think what the doctors are very clear about is they don't know what it is for hormones have been around for a long time, but they don't know what it is for somebody to take hormones for 30, 40, 50, 60 years of their life.
Well, we've had a few. I know Renee Richards was a guest on our show some years ago, and she talked about how much suffering she'd gone through. Her body was not always handling it as well as she would have liked.
And she didn't start until she was an adult, until mm-hmm. she was middle age. So I think that's added even another layer of complexity that the kids are starting even younger.
Mm-hmm. A listener is called in to ask, who pays for the therapy and treatments that are needed to transition?
It's a range. In some cases, it depends on individual insurance. Obviously, more and more insurance companies are starting to cover transgender treatments. So I think it's a wide range.
And I would assume ACA allows for it. Do we know?
So.
Ariel, during the film, we see you and your mother talking with a doctor about starting estrogen therapy. Have you begun the treatments?
Yes, I have. I have begun the treatments, and my body has changed since the video was taken, and I've never felt happier. And I think that a lot of people with all this research, all this stuff, that they think that it's some sort of epidemic or some kind of thing that they need to sort of investigate. I think it's really up to the child and how they feel, because now I could never be happier living the life I was supposed to live.
Now, you mentioned that you can see the difference on how you look. What about how you feel? Do you feel any mental changes as a result?
Yeah, I felt several mental changes, but nothing really major. There's different levels of dosage, and I'm kind of on a low dose now. But I think as the doses start to, I guess you could call it accelerate, then I will become more and more mentally and physically transformative.
One of the things Ariel talks about, I think, so articulately in our film was the struggle she was having. One of the things about puberty blockers is it stops your puberty. So while all your friends are progressing, it has the bonus of buying you more time, but you're in this, you know, suspended state. And I think that from what Ariel was saying, it could be very upsetting for her. So I don't know if that's changed for you, Ariel.
Yeah, it's definitely changed for me. I've just feel happier, and I really just wanted to show that in the film how these cross-sex hormone therapy can really affect someone's life. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people today are a little bit ignorant about this subject, and I really think this film is going to help it.
I'm speaking with Mary Novaski and Karen O'Connor, award-winning independent documentary filmmakers who have produced documentaries including The New Asylums, Living Old, The Undertaking, Facing Death, and The Suicide Plan, now Growing Up Trans, which also features Ariel, a 13-year-old girl who is going through this transitionary phase. This is WMIC, WMIC.org. The film will be broadcast tomorrow at 10:30 on Channel 13 here in New York. Ariel, to give you a fresh start, you and your mother moved so you could attend a new school?
Mm-hmm, yes.
What was the hope there?
The hope was that I could just start on a fresh slate where I could live life as a girl, and I could make friends without having to explain it to them right away. But through several events that will be mentioned in the film, my friends have over time found out and have completely understood and accepted me, and I think that was really great.
So you were outed after 3 months. There are people who are concerned about what bathrooms kids in your situation go to. Has that been a concern?
It hasn't really been a concern with me and in my new school. I've always just gone to the girls' bathroom. But I think that anybody who says things about bathrooms. I think it's up to the kid. If the kid isn't really comfortable going into a certain bathroom, they could go into a teacher's bathroom or a family bathroom or an individual bathroom. But I really don't think it's up to anyone else to tell the kid where to go in that sort of situation.
Toward the end of the film, we meet some older teenagers who have nearly completed their transitions, including Leah, an 18-year-old who's just graduated from high school, where she was elected prom queen. She's about to undergo bottom surgery and then head to college and seems happy and optimistic. What's bottom surgery?
It's, as she describes it, it's gender reassignment surgery, which, as she describes it, it's giving her the anatomy that she's always wanted and felt she should have. So it's an operation that...
An operation that will give her female genitals,
exactly.
In effect.
Mm-hmm.
Her transition seems like an unqualified success. Is she just a sort of candidate gender programs like the one we've been discussing hope to help?
Yeah. I mean, I think Leah, she started, I think she got her hormone blockers in 2007
She's
or 2008.
She's one of the first.
She is, as you see, a completely self-possessed living the life that she's always felt she should live, and very well adjusted and happy and herself.
But perhaps the only transgender young person we meet in the film who doesn't seem completely satisfied is Isaac. He's come to understand that the gender transitioning didn't solve all of his problems.
It's true. I think Isaac is one just incredibly thoughtful and articulate about it. I think what he brings is he's begun at 19 and a sophomore in college, while he still identifies as a trans male. He thinks critically about his decisions, and he's careful to say it's not regret. He's just in some new way thinking about what it means to be trans and what are the definitions of gender, really. So he widens, I think his scope is wider than...
Well, isn't it different for a girl who becomes male than for a male who becomes female because of what happens after that bottom surgery?
You mean body-wise?
Well, a male can be transitioned into having a vagina, whereas there's no way to give a girl a penis.
Right. To me, Isaac is talking on a much larger level than that. He is really one of the things that transitioning enabled him to do, so he says to us, is get rid of some of the pain that he was feeling and really think about gender in a much broader way. And does it have to be so binary? And does it, he has a much larger view and a much more complicated view on how he could be living his life and how he is, I think. So I don't think it had to do with anatomy in that sense.
We are, we've seen major changes in the discussion over same-sex marriage in just the last 10 years or so. Do you think that also applies to discussions of transgender?
I think you're right. I mean, I think this is, as some describe it, it's this newest civil rights frontier, and it stands on the shoulders of those social movements that come before it. But even in the time since we've been working on the film, Leonard, it's just been a remarkable shift.
And Ariel, I was struck by the warmth, support, and protectiveness that your friends show for you during the film. Do you think they admire you on some level for being brave enough to be exactly who you are?
I think that my friends are really amazing, and I feel like they are really proud of me, and they really do think I'm brave. But I mean, I'm just like a normal kid. I mean, I just have abnormal circumstances, and a lot of trans kids have to go through this, and all trans kids are really brave and special in their own sort of way.
Well, you're not just a normal kid because you're probably more articulate than most kids your age. And do you think that to some degree that comes as a result of your having to think things through and explain yourself?
Yeah, I feel like I've almost went through training to do this just by being transgender, because ever since I was little, I've always had to really articulate and pinpoint what was going on inside of my body, and I think that really paid off for a radio interview.
Do you look forward to a time when your transition is behind you and you can just live as who you are?
Yeah, I am really looking forward to that, but I feel like this will always stick with me, and I'll always be transgender, and I'll always have some problems to face, but I think that there is going to come a time in my life when I don't have to really worry about cross-sex hormones and all of and insurance and all this. Well, I'm always going to have to worry about insurance, but I don't know. Yeah, but and also hopefully society will move forward, and in the future there will be a time there will be a time when transgender and gender will just be looked at differently, and people will just always have the freedom to express themselves and be themselves.
And Ariel, thank you so much for participating in this conversation. We've been talking about growing up trans, which will be shown tomorrow night at 10:30 on Channel 13. It's writers, producers, directors, Mary Novaski and Karen O'Connor have been here as well. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah.